You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got David Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Wakey, wakey, no more egg Mike Whites and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro.
Keeping your head above water. Oh,
that beautiful voice right there. That's my co-host, Dave Rothenberg. Thank you for getting up with us on this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys. Hey, Buster, how you doing? It's Rick DiPietro calling. Call us what you want, but don't ever call us lazy. Hear us every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, as always, 1-800-919-3776. Please, please have good reception. Otherwise,
telltale little boop there tells you that that was on his end.
You don't want the telltale boop. We got a great show planned for you today.
Can't wait!
Bart can't wait. He's going to love it. The Knicks with another embarrassing home loss to the Orlando Magic. Nets bounce back with a win against Cleveland. Jets name their starting quarterback for this week's game against Miami. And
that's a poo-poo take.
Poo-poo take. We'll hear from Hal Steinbrenner at the owners' meetings in Chicago. Week 11 tonight, Patriots look to make it 5 straight in Atlanta. More details on the Noah Syndergaard departure. Dave, how would you say the Angels GM got this deal done?
You are slurping on it.
Definitely slurping on it. We have Matthias Kiwanuka at 7, WWE tickets, Jets tickets, the pigskin payout qualifier, and as always, on the Thursday at 6:45, we have observations. Did it happen in Florida? But before we get to all that fun, I'd like to say good morning to a man who's third, and sometimes...
So, yeah, you're not third, you're fourth.
Sometimes he's fourth, because people just can't handle his honesty.
I had no control over my bowels.
That is my best friend, David Rothenberg.
Well, that was lovely. I mean, it was like a Hitchcock film. I cringed at moments with the whole Buster thing. I was excited and on the edge of my seat. It had everything I was hoping for in an open. So it just glorious. A very well done job by you. Congratulations to you and your family.
You know that Buster. You know that Buster voicemail bothered me all day yesterday.
Oh, I think it's still eating you up as we sit here right now. It must have horrified you.
Hey, Buster, how you doing? It's Rick DiPietro calling.
So, couple things. I won't even tell you who, but someone at the station reached out to me after that and said, has he ever left a voicemail before? Like, it was obvious that this guy was just unfamiliar and uncomfortable with the voicemail. That's for starters. Finish the show, go upstairs, getting ready for my nap, and Sherry says, was he serious? And Sherry loves you. She said, was he serious with that? I said, what do you mean serious? She's like, he played his number on air. Like, the second it went to voicemail, Rick completely froze and didn't know what to do.
I panicked.
Yes.
I was not. Listen, and I'm being honest. You know I'm always honest. There was never any expectation that there was going to be a voicemail.
Well, why didn't you hang up?
Oh, because then I panicked. I'm like, oh, I can't just hang up now. I guess I got to leave a message. Otherwise, that's weird, too.
The whole thing weird. So
the whole thing was weird.
Why don't we do this? And RJ is suggesting this, and I think it's a great idea. If you didn't hear yesterday, we've been going back and forth. Buster only has ghosted us. He hasn't come on the show. We've reached out to him. He hasn't responded. Apparently, he took shots at our producer yesterday on KJM, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Here's how it went down. Rick finally bit the bullet and said, you know what? As a show, I will take the reins and I will reach out and call Buster. Only he presses in the buttons on his phone, and here's what ensues.
Hey, Buster, how you doing? It's Rick DiPietro calling. You get a chance, give me a call back. I don't know if it's something I did or if it's something Dave did, but we love you, and we'd love to have you back on the show. So you get a free moment, give me a call back. Look forward to hearing from you. Bye.
That is the worst message I've ever heard on so many levels. First of all, you go from like, hey, Buster, it's Rick DiPietro. Like, you go from this, you know, jovial, excitable
guy.
Hey,
Buster, how you doing? It's Rick DiPietro calling. That right there, you can hear that. That's where it all goes sideways.
To you?
Well, that's like the Thursday Open. That's exactly how the Thursday Open started, and then eventually how it finished.
I don't know if it's
something I did or if it's something Dave did, but we love you.
But you know what you sound like? Here's what it sounds like. You're at an intervention, okay? Your best friend is doing drugs at a point that he needs real help, and you respond with this.
I don't know if it's something I did or if it's something Dave did, but we love you.
Yeah. That's what it is. That's an intervention.
Yes. We love you.
We just want the
best for you.
We love you. And please, whatever you do, call us. Call us.
Put down the pipe. Give me a call back. Look forward to hearing from you. Bye. Next time you pick up that pipe, call us. Please. We love you.
Here's what I will say. You know, we joke about spending time to script an open, and you need to script everything, okay? I want you to make sure you read every read numerous times before you do it. Any voicemail you ever leave, write it down. Practice it. Work through it like you're a thespian, right? Like you're an actor. Like you're Dustin Hoffman. Read it over and over and over and over. The open, practice it. Work at it with Santiago. Work through your lines. You cannot be trusted to just be an off-the-cuff guy. We cannot trust you on that.
Yep. I spent the whole show being off the cuff. I can't even tell you the last time I left a voicemail. That's part of the problem. Because I don't like getting voicemails. So usually, like, if I'm calling a buddy, I'm calling you. Like, I never leave you voicemails. Well, like, I just call you, don't answer.
It makes sense that you wouldn't. I mean, it's a great tact to work with in the game of life for you. Don't leave voicemails.
I think I'd have to start practicing, though. I'm out of practice. I have to start leaving.
Out of practice? It sounds like you never left a voicemail before, ever. Out of practice.
I wanted him to feel like it was going to be a safe place. Like the call was going to be something that we could just go through the differences and find out what really the problem was.
That was terrifying.
I think that set us back. If I'm being honest, I think that message set us back.
That was terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. We'll get to the, I don't even know what to say. like typically people will take shots at you and be like, no, that's my guy. And even if he's wrong, I don't want to hear it because he's my guy. There's nothing to say. There's nothing to say.
My wife was embarrassed. She's like, what are you doing?
What happened? First of all, and this, you played his number on air.
I did not play his number. I had no idea. First of all, I had no idea there was going to be a voicemail. I was told there would be
the
no voicemail.
The second you got, hey, this is Buster only. You know what? Hang up. Abort. Get out of there. And I'm done.
No, who? If it's your own voice, do you repeat your own number? If you left, like, my voice.
A lot of people will have, like, you've reached 914-337-2427. Yeah, absolutely, people do that.
No, that's the automated one that does that. That's the,
no, but
you
there
don't
are
say
people,
your own phone
people
number.
Listen, don't reverse this, pal. Don't do what you're going to do where you deflect. And by the way, you might be the world's greatest deflector ever. Don't do it.
You put me in front of that net, guaranteed 15 easy. Deflections in front of the net.
Oh, absolutely. You cannot be moved, and you are the greatest deflector ever. Don't do it now. Just own it. You were dreadful, and that's what happened.
Oh, I was awful. I'll own all of it. I still can't believe. I really thought we gave his number away. I was like, oh, no, he's going to have to change his number now. This is going to be so bad.
How about when it started, I just started screaming. I was like, his number! The number! Yeah, I was taken aback. I don't know what happened to you there. So what did Cassie say?
No, she was embarrassed. She's like, what are you doing? Yeah. I said, well, they wanted me to call Buster. She's like, well, why would you, like, you played his number over the radio? I was like, no, I think it got dumped. She's like, yeah, but, and then that message, like, have you never left a voicemail before?
Yeah,
she's like,
good.
I'm dealing with, I guess she's listening to the radio because she'll turn it on when she wakes up. And she's listening to us, and then she hears splashing, and she's like, what the, it's, who's splashing? And she goes in the bathroom, and my crazy son has the phone, and he's dipping it into the toilet.
What?
Yes, he's got the phone from the... For some reason, when we bought the house, there's a phone like in the bathroom, like where you sit next to the toilet. So he grabs it, and I guess he's paddling through the toilet water with the phone. So she's like trying to deal with that, and then I'm leaving this ridiculous voicemail.
I think it's obvious. The phones and the DPHOs do not mix.
I'm done with them.
You, the kids, all of it. Isn't there like a feature? Tell me if I'm wrong. Where if you don't like the voicemail, you can press a button to abort the voicemail and then re-record one?
Well, why didn't you suggest that when I left that message?
Because I don't blame me. I was overwhelmed.
You know when you put me in a spot like that and the pressure hits that hard that I panic.
It took every ounce of me being rational and quick thinking just to not get his number played on air.
They should have cut my mic. Santiago and RJ know better. They should have. The second that picked up, they should have cut my mic.
You know what? You're probably
right. I should have
threw
my phone is what I should have done. I should have just threw the phone
throw
and be done with it.
Away. They've made movies that were less terrifying than this. Like the movie, you ever see the movie with Kim Basinger, like Cellular? That wasn't this terrifying. This is a two-hour movie.
And he didn't call me back. I was like, oh, please,
what? Really?
Call me back.
What? Wow. The guy won't call because I just asked for his number. You leave a creepy, bizarre voicemail and he didn't call you back? Wow. I can't believe that.
It was like, have you ever seen The Cable Guy?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I was in the shower, thought you might have called.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Never again. We won't do that again. Or maybe we do. Maybe we just have me leave messages for people once a day.
Absolutely. In fact, I think every guest we'd like to get on. You have Schefter's number. Why don't we try with him today?
No, I will not. I will not ruin that relationship. No chance.
The one I spent so much time building up and getting to where it is.
Yeah, I mean, you did all the work there. It's right where it needs to be. We're on the cusp of going for sushi. I'm not ruining that, no.
Why do you get him on the show?
We can if you want.
Yeah, I think we should. How about you send him a text?
I'm not going to send him a text now. It's 5:11.
First of all, I agree. Not now. Second of all, I'm sure he's awake because this is a 24/7 insider. But what I will say is 7 o'clock hour, why don't you send him a text? Hey, it's Rick DiPietro. Just checking in. Wondering if you'd love to come on the show at some point.
You
That's
idiot.
It. No voicemail. Certainly not. But just you know.
Maybe I call you this afternoon and I practice my voicemails.
No. Just for a while, let's not even do the voicemail. Now, I'm getting tweets. And RJ, I don't know if this is accurate or not, but many tweets... Did Buster throw you under the bus? Because that's what people are saying, that he said it was your fault.
Well, it's funny you ask. We do have audio because, unlike this show, Buster is, he's doing well. He's around. Good. He just doesn't talk to us. Justifiably so now, I would say. But he did go on KJM, which follows us. And we do have some audio, if you'd like to hear it, of how he handled being asked about... All the way back, tracing back to the beginning, about Dave's initial request for the number.
Yes. Did Dave Rothenberg take it too far when he got excited about you DMing him and then he asked for your personal number? Did he take that too far?
No, but I thought it was kind of funny and a little bit odd because, like, everybody in our industry, we all work at ESPN, we can all get each other's phone numbers. Jay, Key, I can reach out to folks at on the news and say, hey, can I get their phone number? I got to run something past them. And so that's why I just thought it was kind of funny that he asked him, like, dude, ask your producer. He's got my number.
All right, I feel better, actually, to be honest with you, because it's clear he's not upset. I didn't go too far, and I stand by what I did. Rather than go through RJ and get the number, because I think that's kind of disrespectful, and say, oh, RJ gave me your number, maybe he didn't want me to have it, I went right to him. So I actually feel better about that. Obviously, up until yesterday, what you did, Rick, we hadn't turned him off. Hopefully, he'll join the show soon. I feel much more at ease right now than I did yesterday morning.
See, I think you're in the right. Like, people ask me all the time, like, someone will text me and say, hey, do you have so-and-so's number? And I'm like, yeah, I have their number, but I'm going to have, let me reach out. Like, if someone says, hey, do you have Dave's number? I don't just give them Dave's number.
Exactly.
Like, I would rather them, like, I reach out to you and say, hey, Dave, so-and-so wants your number. You mind if I give it to them?
Right. So I actually thought I did the right thing by going to him. Yes. And I stand
behind you. I stand behind my guy.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Now that we've got that behind us, I thought the goal of the show today is we could talk about voicemails and Buster Olney and skirt around the two stories that are staring us in the face. And that is the Jets and the quarterback situation and the Knicks and a repulsive loss last night. I don't really want to talk about these things.
No, I don't really want to talk about it either. I mean, that's why I was doing my best to spend as much time as possible on the Buster stuff. And I would rather embarrass myself listening to that voicemail. Because I don't know what's more embarrassing, that voicemail or what we saw from the Knicks.
I think the Knicks. I think the Knicks are more embarrassing. Orlando on the season now has four wins. Two of them are at your home arena. Half of their wins are where you play. You've played them three times. They are awful. They've beaten you two of the three times. You're going to look back. I'm telling you, you will look back at some point later on this season and say, A, God, we needed those wins. B, how the hell do we lose to Orlando twice at home?
Well, and you remember, you went out of your way in Orlando to embarrass them, and they felt a way about that. And then they came back to Madison Square Garden, and they beat you at home. And now last night, and it's not so much the loss, because the loss is awful. And this team has not been as good as it needs to be at home, which is a real problem when the East is as good as the East is. But fundamentally, they have a huge problem.
Like their starting backcourt
is unplayable.
It's
unplayable.
Fair.
You can say it. It's unplayable.
I was going to say it stinks. Their starting backcourt is bad right now. It's bad. And I'll go one further. Julius Randle is a problem. He is.
Right now, Julius Randle is a problem. That is correct. I don't know what's going on with him. If he's uncomfortable, whatever it is. I mean, Dave, he took 11 shots yesterday. 10 of them were from three. 10 of them. He barely played in the fourth quarter. He played 3 minutes and 42 seconds at the end of the game. In crunch time, took zero shots. Zero.
Yeah. The pass from Rose, they turned the ball over 18
quickly,
times.
They
lost Orlando
Rose
at
pass.
Home. Just terrible. I mean, really, I've been very optimistic and very positive. I was disgusted last night. Disgusted.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I
got in big
it.
Trouble with this song.
Yeah, you don't know the protocols of what you're supposed to and not supposed to do.
No, but I was thinking about it during the break, like this whole voicemail fiasco.
Yeah.
And then he just, I mean, I didn't ask him to play that song, and I agree with you. I kind of like that song, too. So when I was in Germany during the lockout, so, you know, we got, I don't want to say recruited, but the GM was like, okay, you know, it'd be great if you guys, it was me and it was another NHL guy, come over, play until the lockout ends. So, I mean, we had a really good relationship, me and the GM, to the point where, like, we first got there, he takes us out for German food. We're having pretzels and beer, and we have practice. And we're like, we have practice. He's like, don't worry about it. I'm the GM, so we're having beers, whatever. So he tells us that during one of our extended breaks, hey, you know, go on a quick vacation, you and your wife, go to, I think we went to Venice, and we're supposed to have practice on Tuesday, but it's optional. Don't worry about it. Just show up, mandatory practice on Wednesday. I guess he didn't tell the coach that. So we get back on Wednesday for practice, and the coach just completely destroys us in front of the team. Like, destroys us. I don't know who you guys think you are. You're supposed to call. I want your numbers now if I need to reach you. So we were like, okay, yeah, no problem. So like a jackass that I am, I decided I'm going to make a joke out of it. So next day in practice, I have this big piece of cardboard with my cell phone number and the other guy's cell phone number, and I'm hiding in the change room. And he comes walking in, and I shut the lights off, and I have them playing this song, and I pop out, and I'm dancing with the piece of cardboard with my cell phone number on it.
What, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, listen, it's...
What is the matter with you?
I have problems.
I mean, what is the matter with you?
I have issues. I don't know.
Yeah, you really do. Numbers, voicemail, cell phones, just avoid it at all costs, please. All right, let's get back into the Knicks. Last night was I don't even know what to say. I guess repulsive would be the word that I would use. First of all, this should not be a close game. You should not be well into the fourth quarter against this team where if they get on a little run, all of a sudden you lose it. You didn't play well the entire game. You mentioned it. I said it. It's accurate. Fournier, Kemba Walker are almost unplayable right now. Julius Randle, something is wrong. Defensively, they're not the same team. They're way too reliant on the three. They turned the ball over too much last night. That is, I will tell you this honestly, as bad a loss as you can have for the Knicks right now. As bad, well, I guess unless you lose Saturday against Houston, who's 1-14, but that is just a dreadful, awful, embarrassing performance at the Garden last night.
Yeah, there's no excuse for it. I mean, currently you're 8-7. You're 3-5 at home. This is your second loss to Orlando at home. And, I mean, they're one of the worst, if not the worst team in the Eastern Conference. Would you agree with that?
It's either them or Detroit.
Okay, and here's the bigger problem, though, moving forward. And you can call and tell me it's early. It's only 15 games. But in crunch time of these games, and it's not just last night, Tibbs goes with who he trusts. And right now, he does not trust Kemba Walker, mm-mm, and he does not trust Evan Fournier. You look at the five that brought them back and went on that run to give you the six-point lead. It wasn't Julius Randle. It wasn't Kemba Walker. It wasn't Evan Fournier. It really wasn't even Derrick Rose. It was Burks at the point. Obi was awesome last night. Mm-hmm. Like I keep telling you, he's instant energy. You got to find more minutes for him. And it was RJ Barrett. It was Quickly. And it was Mitchell Robinson. And then they take Mitchell Robinson out because, as Mitchell Robinson loves to do, he goes down on his hip and he's writhing in pain.
But it's every game.
So now we got to take him out and we put Julius in, and Julius did nothing. Absolutely nothing down the stretch.
He was so bad in this game. It's just, it's overwhelming for me. It really is. That is not a game you should lose. And to lose twice, you've played them twice. Like the first time, fine. You go out there, you lose the game, you just hammered them two nights prior, they come out, they beat you, fine. But now you know, like going into the game last night, you know that they are going to come into the Garden and give you everything they have because they've beaten you there once before. So you can't be taken off guard. And to have that happen, I blame everyone. I blame Thibodeau, I blame the players, I blame everyone. Angry. This is the angriest, it's not even close, the angriest I have been after a Knicks game this season.
Yeah, but Dave, good teams, like the bench has done what the bench is supposed to do. The bench has been great, right? And the bench again last night goes on the run, gets you the six-point lead. But on good teams, once the bench does what they're supposed to do, and it's usually just to give the starting five a quick rest and hopefully the game, I mean, keep the game close and let your starters get back in. But, I mean, the bench is good enough where all of a sudden they go on that run, you get a six-point lead, and I thought that Jalen Suggs three, no, that he ends up hitting. It's like just under 5 minutes left in the fourth was kind of like when that group's momentum started to slow down a little bit. You should be able to bring back in your starting five and have them close the game for you.
Of course you should.
There shouldn't be a question about that.
You shouldn't get the bench to play that well and be in that kind of a struggle of a game. Ever. Ever. 1-800-919-3776. Here's the head coach, Tom Thibodeau. First, we hear from him on the loss against Orlando.
We're disappointed. You know, we have to learn from it and get ready for the next one. But it's we're capable of doing a lot better.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's capable of doing a lot better. That was a gross performance. More from the coach. He takes full responsibility for this team's bad performance.
You have to play for 48 minutes. You can't let your guard down. You know, unfortunately, we beat ourselves tonight. Our turnovers hurt us. The second shot hurt us. We're capable of playing a lot better than we did. We give them credit. They played well. They played hard. We didn't. Have to do a better job getting them ready. That's on me. Take a good hard look at it. But it's easy. It's easy to analyze because you look at it and it tells you, like, we know our defense was better, but the rebounding wasn't good. The turnovers. When you give teams a second and third crack at it, it's hard to win. We put them in the open floor off our turnovers. Usually we take care of the ball. We're a low turnover team. Tonight we weren't, and it cost us.
Cost them big time in a repulsive performance.
I mean, add stepping out of bounds to that list.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, four of the 18 were because you stepped out of bounds.
The one that drove me crazy, and you could even argue the game was already over, but the Derrick Rose pass at half court, you know, with under a minute to go, it was a remote slamming play for me.
Well, you had that. You had the Quickly turnover. The play for me was the I thought his ankle snapped in half. Franz Wagner, I thought he was done. Like, he broke his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to watch him with the vicious dunk.
Oh, and
he
one.
He spins by quickly. And yep. one. No, they have real issues, man. They really have issues because, again, if we're this early in the season and Tibbs doesn't trust the two guys you went out and got to take you to that next
you
level and get you over the hump.
Big money on Evan Fournier.
Yeah, no kidding. And he's not playable. You can't have those two guys on the court at the same time.
No, I told you the other day, Burks needs to get into that starting lineup. He has to. You cannot keep that as your starting backcourt. They're just not good enough. They're not.
Well, good thing for Alec Burks, too. I mean, he had 13 points in the fourth quarter. But it's just, dude, their half-court offense, that starting five half-court offense is so awful to watch. It's so stagnant, and they keep shooting threes.
They're in love with the three. They are,
and they're bad shots. They're not even good threes. They're just taking threes to take threes.
It's a head-scratching team right now. And to say you're annoyed would be an understatement.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
You know that Buster voicemail bothered me all day yesterday.
Oh, I think it's still eating you up as we sit here right now.
Hey, Buster, how you doing? It's Rick DiPietro calling.
Obvious that this guy was just unfamiliar and uncomfortable with the voicemail.
You get a chance, give me a call back. I don't know if it's something I did or if it's something Dave did, but we love you. So you get a free moment, give me a call back. Look forward to hearing from you. Bye.
We love you. We just want the best for you.
We love you. And please, whatever you do, call us.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
If I'm being honest, I think that message set us back.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Woo, that was some message, baby. Like, you're worried for his well-being. We're here for you. Just call us. We love you.
I don't know if it's something I did or if it's something Dave did, but we love you. I don't know how you bounce back from that.
But we love you.
I don't know how I bounce back.
You'll figure out a way. But we love you.
I should almost take myself off the show.
No, I don't think so.
Now all of a sudden I got to watch Joe Flacco.
Yep. Well, that's your reward.
That's my reward. Thanks.
Well, that's your reward. Time now for a little Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You mentioned it. What is going on? Really? What is going on? Why is Joe Flacco starting for the Jets on Sunday against Miami? Because the 85 Miami Bears defense is just, it's so daunting that they need Flacco to be the starter?
I think you know exactly why Joe Flacco was playing. Give me your best guess as to why Joe Flacco was playing.
All right, now you say that. I don't know that I know. Here's what I would guess. Oh boy, I guess they don't believe that Zach Wilson is ready to go up against Miami, because I believe he's probably healthy enough to play, and that they're justifying having brought Joe Flacco in from Philadelphia.
I think you got part of it right. I think part of that is right. I think the biggest thing you're missing is that there will not be one Jets fan that is clamoring, even if Joe Flacco goes out and plays well, to see Joe Flacco play another football game.
Yeah, but you just saw Mike White, and he was terrible.
Well, exactly right. But if they go back to Mike White, and Mike White plays great against Miami, guess who Jets fans are going to want to see the following week?
You know what it feels like to me? And I hate to say this so quickly. It feels to me like they just don't know what they're doing at the moment.
I think that's part of it. And I think that's been a big problem with the Jets, is that they care too much about what the fan base thinks. And rather than have a plan, feel good about the plan, and stick to it, they react to what's being said. And I don't think you're wrong either. I think part of this, too, is that you spent the six-round pick, a conditional six-round pick, on bringing in Joe Flacco.
So now you're going to start Flacco?
Well, I'm telling you, this is why you're starting Flacco, is because you don't want to have a quarterback controversy. If Mike White, who I think deserves to get another week, because what did you expect against Buffalo?
What do you want to see from Flacco?
Nothing.
What is the point of Flacco being the starting
quarterback? But that's it. You just said it. No Jet fan wants to see Joe Flacco. So even if Joe Flacco plays well, you're not going to be clamoring for more Joe Flacco. There is no there is no future here for Joe Flacco. But the conversations around Mike White were, could this be the guy? To the point where people were comparing it, what Matt Judon did to Zach Wilson, to what Mo Lewis did to Drew Bledsoe. Don't laugh because you heard it.
I'm not laughing because you're making it up. I'm laughing because it's so preposterous. You know what? I can't believe the Jets are where they are. I liked Robert Saleh. I can't believe this is where they've painted themselves into.
But this is what happens, though, Dave. And I've said this to you since we started doing the show. The last thing you want to do, especially with a position as important as the quarterback position, is just hand somebody the job. And then on top of it, not be a good team. And have your quarterback look as bad as Zach Wilson looked, and have that offense look as bad as it looked, not win games. Because again, even though you have the youngest team in the NFL, there are guys in that locker room that want to have a personal success, and they want to win. They don't want to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. What am I doing every single day in the gym, on the practice field, watching video, breaking down tape, all these hours I'm putting into this to go out on the field on Sundays or Thursdays or Mondays and get embarrassed? No one wants that.
Of course no one wants it. But start.
I got to watch a kid that was just
win.
That's
getting spoon-fed. If Wilson's not ready, I can't believe they're going with Flacco.
I mean, why do you think Jacksonville got rid of Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, because you didn't want anyone to potentially, you know, be the guy instead of Trevor Lawrence.
So that's why Mike White is not starting. Because Mike White, there could be a future here for Mike White as the backup. I guess it'd be a good option to have as your backup quarterback, Mike White.
He looks like he's a very functional, at least he did in the first game plus, a very functional backup quarterback. Which, okay, if you gain that, is nice to have.
Exactly right. But because the Mike White mania happened, and Robert Saleh left the door open for it to happen, is, God forbid for the Jets, because Zach Wilson is close to being back, Mike White goes up against Miami, who I don't care what you say about their defense. They're playing better.
Their defense still, you're not going is up good. Against... I'm not saying that, but you make it sound. I've heard all this, this Miami defense is special. They're good. But stop with all these. This is a great defense.
Well, they're getting healthy, and they get the exotic blitzes and everything else. Yeah, okay, fine. Great. But Joe Flacco's done. He's done. It's over for Joe Flacco. You try to bring him in. He didn't want to be a part of the Jets. He wanted to be in Philly, closer to his family. Like, he's done. I can't imagine there's one Jets fan that's going to call him today and say, yeah, I can't wait to see Joe Flacco play on Sunday.
There's going
to
be none. There's going to be none. So let's hear from the head coach, Robert Saleh. Why? Why are you starting Flacco in this game on Sunday?
Joe is just that veteran. One of the reasons why we went and got Joe is for the experience part of it. Not only for the playing ability and for the room, but also for situations just like this. You know, Miami's got a dynamic coverage system as it pertains to defense with zero and all the different coverages they run. And Joe's kind of been there, done that, and just kind of a steadying experience that we felt would put us in the best position to win.
I got to be honest with you. If I was a Jets fan right now, I would punch the wall. I would be so angry. We went out there, we got him because he's a veteran and the experience. But you didn't need him in the offseason, and you didn't need someone like that coming into the season. But now you have to have that? I mean, who's running the ship over there?
Well, it wasn't. Here's the thing, though, too. You tried with Joe Flacco, didn't work out. But that's no excuse not to address it. Josh Johnson's not that guy. Mike White was not that guy. You needed a vet. He just told you. It wasn't about what was on the field. Yeah, that's nice, but it's the experience inside the room. Well, okay, well, you haven't had that all season long. And now, all of a sudden, we're worried about winning? I mean, you gave Zach Wilson the job, didn't earn it, was clearly not giving you the best opportunity to win football games. But nope. Now, in this moment, we're hell-bent on winning at 2-7. Now, this is, you know what, this is the week we're going to prioritize winning.
This is the first week of the season.
No, you're fully, you know what. The reason why Mike White's not playing is because, God forbid, he plays well, and we got to deal with this whole conversation again.
I got to be honest. How do you live with this? Like, really? They should send you a stipend. You should, every month, you should show up to the show, and you should get, like, a check from the Jets to have to deal with this. The Giants are pathetic. Really. What they have done is just an embarrassment. But even at the depths of what the Giants are, the Jets, they find new and inventive ways to embarrass themselves and embarrass the fan base.
I said this when they drafted Sam Darnold, and it was like people thought I was being negative. And I'm like, the Jets are legitimately going through a checklist of how to ruin a young quarterback and just checking boxes. Like, just box by box, how do we ruin a young quarterback? Step by step. And guess what happened to Sam Darnold? You ruined him.
Do you feel at this moment good about Zach Wilson? And I'm not saying he's not going to be fine.
No.
But do you feel good about where you are with him right now?
No, and I'm sure he doesn't. I'm sure Zach Wilson is like, oh my God, what did I get myself into? Was it worth being the second overall pick to be put into this? Like, this thing is a mess.
It is brutal. Tarek in the car. Tarek, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, disgruntled Jets fan here. You know, I'm used to all this Mickey Mouse clown organization just ruining everything. Honestly, I think part of it, like you said, Dave, was that they wanted to justify trading that sixth-round pick, which I know is not the biggest thing in the world, but that's part of it. But I think more of it was they had planned on having Wilson back by this game to have a soft landing. I don't think he is healthy, and that's why he's not playing. But you don't want to put Mike White in against Miami, and he lights it up. And then when next week against the Texans, you have the same controversy. If Wilson's ready to go, then you want to start Wilson, and he plays bad against Houston, then everyone's clamoring again for Mike White, and he shouldn't have lost his job. So they're just making it seem like, oh, yeah, White's not good, and they don't want to have any
controversy
for Wilson.
They want no controversy.
Exactly. And it just becomes like I said, I think their plan was 2 to 4 weeks with Wilson. Forget about the Bills, because if he plays against the Bills, healthy or not, we're going to get crushed. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is. So they got exactly what they wanted. Mike White fell on his face against the Bills because the Bills are a legitimate good defense. Even when they lost, they only gave up 9 points. And I think the week before, they had won like 6-0 or something. So their defense is really good. Mike White fell on his face. It gave Wilson the red carpet to start against Miami, who is not a vaunted defense. They give up more than 25 points a game. Yeah, Exotic Blitz isn't that, but they still give up 25 points a game. And yeah, it just didn't work out because he's not healthy still. And they're like, oh no, we can't go to White, because then if he has
here's the thing though too. That's another problem for me. Is that, I mean, he's already missed 3 weeks. Like, the expectation was, we're not going to put him on IR because we feel like he can be back sooner than, right? Like, he'll miss 3 games and he'll be back.
Right. This was the game that he had circled, right? He'll miss the Buffalo game. We'll eat that game. Mike White's not great. That's fine. We don't have to play him anymore. And now we'll go back to Zach Wilson. And I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what the reason is. If he's not healthy, if Miami's defense is just too good, I don't feel comfortable and confident that I'm getting the true answers from this team right now.
But here, again, they put themselves in the spot now where, because they didn't have, first of all, the team's not very good. I mean, that's problem number one, right? And the defense, it's been embarrassed. But you have no veteran quarterback for experience, first of all, and second of all, that can play, like, to at least have that option to start the season if your young quarterback's not ready. So you've spoon-fed him, you've turned the entire organization over to him, and then you give him the job. And then he looks bad. Which is a humongous problem, because everyone in that locker room is looking around going, what are we doing here? I get he was a second overall pick. We're just going to give him this job? And we have no chance of winning football games? And I got a rookie head coach that's trying to earn the credibility in this locker room and set a new culture? Well, how am I buying into you if we stink, if there's no results? So now what happens, though? Listen, no one wants to see Joe Flacco play. And we're going to sit here and talk about how good Miami's defense is and everything else. What happens if Joe Flacco beats Miami? In that locker room, Joe Flacco plays great and they beat Miami. There's not going to be any Joe Flacco hysteria like there was with Mike White.
No, but the players are going to want Flacco to start again in another winnable game against Houston.
So you're going to burn another game that Zach Wilson may have actually been able to step into
Zach
and have
Wilson.
Success.
You need to see Zach Wilson. Now, RJ, we have the audio of Greeny. Was he live on the air when the news broke that Flacco was going to start over Mike White this week?
Yes, the news broke right as his show started, so right around 10 a.m. yesterday.
Okay, so this should be terrific. Here is Greeny, live reaction, unadulterated live reaction to the news of who the Jets are going to start at quarterback this week.
What the hell is going on here? I mean, what the hell is going on? It makes zero sense.
So they should be starting Mike White this weekend.
Unless he's hurt. Unless he's also hurt.
That's a complex defense.
It's a complex defense. They allow 25 points a game. It's a complex defense. I mean, this is ridiculous. Ridiculous. They went from, you never know. This is the coach talking now. The coach said, you never know. Anything can happen. Mike White might wind up beating out Zach Wilson, the guy that we are building our entire franchise around. And a week later, well, he can't handle that Miami defense. Let's not be ridiculous. We can't throw him out there against these guys.
Poor Greeny. You know what would make this all better? Why do you call him and leave him a voicemail?
No, that will make this only worse.
Why do you call him?
No, I'll shoot him a text.
Why do you call him live on the air?
I will shoot him a text.
Let hear what his phone number is so they can call him, and he has to change his number, and leave him one of your special voicemails. I think that would write this whole
thing.
What
time is it right now? You know, I will text him right now and see if he wants to come on the show. How's that?
Yeah, I guess that'll work too, but I would much more appreciate the voicemail.
But what if I call and he answers?
His show goes on at what, 8 o'clock? He's got to be up.
Well, what if I call and he answers the phone? No, he's not. Is today Thursday? I bet he's not doing the show today. He's sleeping.
Oh, he's doing NBA stuff?
No, he did NBA last night, right?
Call him. Call him live
on
air.
No, I'm not
going to
wake him up. No. RJ, Greeny did the NBA last night, right?
I believe so.
Okay, he's not. So he's probably not going to get up this morning.
So you could text him?
No, because what if he keeps his phone next to his bed or something?
Nobody keeps their phone on when they're sleeping.
Listen. If you have kids that aren't at home, you keep your phone on. Yes.
Listen, annoying
always
is one thing. We tick off Greeny. We might not be here tomorrow.
Greeny,
yeah, there
loves
are two
us.
People you don't. There are two people you don't tick
Greeny
off.
Greeny loves
Greeny
us.
And Stephen A. Do not tick those two off.
Here's what we do. 6:30.
Have you seen
live
his
on air Greeny? 7:15. We call live on air Stephen A. 7:30 Schefter.
No and no.
I think
no, you're talking about like the three people at ESPN that you don't start ruin relationships with.
7:45, Jimmy Pitaro.
Have you seen his tentacles?
Have you seen those tentacles?
Yeah, those are big tentacles.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
DJ is a great listener, by the way. He says, I wake up at 2:45 a.m. Monday to Friday. Even on the weekends, no matter how late I stay up, I can't sleep past 6 a.m. Our bodies have their own internal clock. Trust me, Greeny is up. He's just not listening to the show right now. Go for it, Rick. Reach out to Greeny.
No, I'm not going to do it.
You're scared.
A little bit, yeah, but I'm not going to do it before 7. I could maybe be pushed to do it maybe after
fine.
7, but I'm not doing it before 7.
You know what? I will table it until 7:10. At 7:10, at the end of the Math Kiwanuka segment, I will revisit this with you.
I mean, you saw yesterday how I reacted to pressure.
You know, listen, I'm not asking you to leave a voicemail. I think that's too much. But just a simple call, I think, is well within reason.
What if I screw up the call? What if I screw up the text?
I will baby you through the text, okay?
I mean, that voicemail sounded like it was an intervention.
The voicemail was not good.
It was awful, was what it was.
I'm not going to lie to you. It was not good.
This whole Jet situation has me so aggravated right now.
Well, it should. It's infuriating.
Well, on top of the fact, too, I mean, let's just go back. And I was thinking about during the break. I mean, what Robert Saleh said on Monday. Like, he's surprised by this market. Like, everyone thought that Mike White was the first, that was the next coming. Now, all of a sudden, you want him out of town? He deserves better. So what's better, that you're benching him for Joe Flacco? That's better?
No, it's awful. It's absolutely awful. And what do you mean surprised by this market?
Like, how could you be? I mean, that's another thing. Like, you know what you're getting. I would hope you know what you're getting yourself into.
If you have no idea what you're getting yourself into, that's a bigger problem that we're dealing with.
And then on top of it, you go, oh, yeah, you know what? No biggie. We'll go with a rookie quarterback and I'll hire the most inexperienced staff in football. And we'll see how that works out with the youngest roster in football.
I got to be honest. I can't believe they won 2 games. Like, when you discuss this team, you feel like you're talking about a 1-8, 0-9 kind of team.
Which is probably how those teams coming in to play the Jets, we're talking about the Jets. I mean, they beat Tennessee. I know there was no Julio Jones and no AJ, but they still had Derrick Henry. And they beat Tennessee. And then they turned it and they beat Cincinnati.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Yeah, me either. I mean, at this point, I mean, it's what's even the sense of winning games at this point?
You have half a season left. You're totally despondent, aren't you?
Yeah, because again, this is another example of the Jets' ineptitude. It really is. Like, this is so, it's so transparent, this move. It's so transparent. Like, Joe Flacco gives us a better chance to win against this vaunted Miami defense,
this Miami
with the exotic
defense.
Blitzes and the cover zero and everything.
I hear Bart breaking it. Did you see what they did to Baltimore? I mean, this is a really good defense. They're fine. Maybe they're even good. But you're adjusting your starting quarterback based on what defense you're playing? Think about that for a second. So if you were playing a lesser defense, you'd go with Mike White. But because it's an exotic, difficult defense to prepare for, now you're going with Joe Flacco?
You insinuated. Robert Saleh insinuated after that Mike White game against Cincinnati that there was a chance. We'll see what happens. Like, he left the door open. I'm going to play who gives us the best chance to win. If Mike White continues to play well, he'll play. And then on Monday, you tell me it's not fair to Mike White to throw him away because he has one bad game against one of the best defenses in football. And then you turn around and on Wednesday, name Joe Flacco, who just got there. How much of the playbook does he know? I know he's got experience. I mean, how much chemistry has he built up with his wide receivers that he now gives you the best chance to win? Because of all his experience that you didn't feel like you needed to start the season, but now all of a sudden you need.
It really makes no sense, does it?
No, it makes sense. Because it makes no sense, it makes sense. The reason why Joe Flacco is playing is because they do not want to risk Mike White playing on Sunday, playing well, and then restarting that conversation. They want to be able to seamlessly hand the job to Zach Wilson.
So how about in a world where Joe Flacco goes out there, plays really well, you beat this big-time Dolphins defense, 27-17. You don't go back to Flacco? Now you're going to Zach Wilson?
Yeah, but see, I think it's less about... Well, I hope, at least. I think it's less about Joe Flacco actually playing well and potentially continue to play, and more about how the fan base reacted to Mike White and how the team reacted to Mike White. Like, the conversations around Mike White were, he could actually take this job from Zach Wilson. Like, be the long-term answer at quarterback for Zach Wilson.
That's a ridiculous conversation.
Exactly right. But that was the conversation, right? And you know how the Jets feel about what the media and what the fan bases is saying. I mean, they react to it. They're listening. So, I mean, Robert Saleh gets destroyed by Rex and all that other stuff. And now all of a sudden they feel like, okay, we can't have this Mike White stuff continue. He gave us the out. He played bad against Buffalo. Zach apparently isn't ready. We didn't put him on IR because we thought he would be ready. He's not. So we're going to go to Joe Flacco, so he'll play. We'll probably lose. It will justify why we spent the sixth-round pick on Joe Flacco, and then it'll clear the way for us to play Zach against Houston.
It is the definition of dysfunction is what they're doing at the moment. All Dave, guests on this show appear via the Goodyear hotline. Go ahead.
Okay, so my last year, right? So my last year I played, I think, three games. And I've already told you the story. I'm outside. It's in Montreal. I'm outside the bus. They say, we're putting you on waivers.
Right.
Crushed me. It was ruined, right? Go down. Had a great group of guys. You know, played well, had fun, whatever it is. So that, our season ends. The Islanders are playing the Penguins in the playoffs. And usually when, you know, minor league season ends, you know, the Black Aces get called up just in case. So at the time, it was Nabokov was the starting goalie and Kevin Poulin was the backup goalie. They didn't call me up. Didn't call me up. Right? And I'm like, why wouldn't you at least call me up?
Because
like,
they were worried if you went up there and played well that they'd be clamoring for you to be the guy.
If Nabokov didn't play well and I was up, that they would be clamoring for me to play, and they already had their minds made up that I was being bought out. And the last thing they would have wanted was, I step in, play well, and now what do we do? That's how these things work.
Well, that stinks.
It stinks.
It stinks.
But they're fully invested in Zach Wilson.
Which I get.
I think that conversation surrounding Mike White made them real uncomfortable. Real uncomfortable.
And I get, and you should be. I mean, you just took him second overall. You should be real invested in Zach Wilson, but not
yeah, but
for
then,
a second.
Then why not? Then why not do whatever you can to set him up to have success instead of what they've done to him so far?
Because I don't think they know how. That's what I've gathered here. I don't think they know what they're doing.
It's not. I'm telling you right now, and Pete, listen to me when I tell you this. I don't care how old your team is or how young your team is. It is never a good thing if guys in that locker room feel like you're just given something as opposed to earning it. And they just gave him the job. There was no real competition. And unfortunately for him and unfortunately for the people that made that decision, he came out and he stunk. And that's been the biggest part of this problem is he was given the job. They've catered to everything that he's needed, mm-hmm. and he stunk.
And he has, and he's given you very brief moments where he's been a good quarterback early on in his NFL career. All right, listen to the Man in the Arena podcast, a 10-part series exploring how sports impacts our everyday lives through the lens of Tom Brady's career, brought to you by ZipRecruiter and available wherever you get your podcasts. All right now, RJ's time to shine. It is Knobservation.
If you say something like this...
That's a clown question, bro.
Or like this...
My best advice to you?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Those are the ramblings of what we refer to as a knob.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
And these are Knobservations.
Yes, and they're brought to you by Jack Pocket. So, Dave, a beautiful transition. You're very critical of the Reeds, but they were positioned for a reason where they were, and I'm glad you stayed on target, because we begin with one Tom Brady... So if you go back
to... You think I'm new here? You think I'm my first foray into radio?
No, I think you just have an immense disregard for the Reeds and the anger you have is at the process, not at me, but you take it out on me, which is troubling.
Well, you know what? You're the person there.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Well, it's hard to argue that. But so you heard about the ESPN Plus vehicle, the companion podcast that goes with it. Check both out. But... You mentioned that Tom Brady. Well, you love him, you hate him. Did you? I'm sure you guys did, but we didn't talk about it. Going back to Sunday, did you see or hear how he began his press conference after the loss to the Washington football team?
Yeah, he wanted no part of talking to the media because they lost the game and he's a big baby.
Okay, here's what it sounded like.
Make it quick.
Tom, there didn't seem to be...
So, in case you missed it, he walks to the podium. Make it quick.
If I had a quarter for every time
Tom,
I heard that.
It didn't seem to be...
All right, we move on. So, the press conference, Rick, behave here, lasted 1 minute.
Oh, dear.
The press conference, that is. So, here's how it ended.
Started with the ball, they came away with it, so... Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
So we've gotten a lot of...
I could use a bunch of different pieces of that last clip.
Yep, we're going to move on. So we've gotten a lot of the fun Tom Brady, the you know, 45-year-old, like, social media savant version of Brady. But it just reminds you that angry Northeastern guy is still in there somewhere.
This is a dreadful look for him. Because if they would win that game, he would have taken as many questions as needed, and he would have sat up there for 20 minutes. But because they lost, he's got to be a petulant child, make it quick, I don't want to do this, and I want to get out of here, and he does in 1 minute. This is really gross. For a guy that I like and he's fun to watch play, this is a bad look for him.
Yeah, but I don't know how much of that is him setting the tone. I mean, Belichick does the same thing, right? Like, he was programmed by Belichick, and Arians tries to do it with the whole, like, yeah... You watched that game. Was that first interception Brady's fault?
No.
No, absolutely not. When Arians is asked the question, no, those are on my quarterback. Like, so he tries to do what Belichick does by holding Brady accountable. But we all know who the real leader of that thing is. And I think Brady was using that opportunity to send the message to his team that, you know, I'm pissed. And we got to fix this.
Well, you know what? You could let us know that you're annoyed and angry without taking it out on people trying to do their jobs.
No, I don't disagree with you, but I think in that moment, like we always say it, like coach, when he gets in front of, or, you know, coach gets in front of the media, he's speaking not to just the media. He's speaking to the fan base and he's speaking to the locker room. I think that's partly what Tom Brady was doing.
Yeah, and Bruce Arians followed suit when he called his football team dumb. I'm not sure how many coaches can get away with that, but he made it work. Called them a very dumb football
team. I love
team.
The honesty. I mm-hmm. mean, being an honest guy like I am, I love the honesty from Bruce Arians.
You and Bruce Arians, very close.
Yep.
Tremendous man. He was a guest when I was on the K show, and he came in studio. And his off year when he was coaching. Very nice man. Very nice man. A not so nice action was the wife of Matthew Stafford. So as you may have seen Monday, just a clinic on how to play the game of football by the 49ers. The Rams, it didn't go well.
What team do you root for?
The Niners. That's
right. Oh, okay.
So Odell was blamed up and down. I do think the Odell blame's gone a little far, by the way. That's not in the story. That's just, you know, my opinion, which you didn't ask for. So Kelly Stafford is the wife of Matthew Stafford. So the game was getting out of hand. And this only came to light because someone on Instagram posted Kelly Stafford throwing pretzels at 49ers fans that were celebrating, saying, "Show some class and support your husband and his new team with some grace, please. I'm a Rams fan, and I am embarrassed by your actions last night." Kelly Stafford went on to apologize, saying that she had zero excuse for her actions and that, quote, "I'm an idiot."
Couple things on this one now.
You're going to support it, aren't you?
I respect the fact that she was pushed to the fact that she needed to throw food at others. I like that. And I also greatly respect the fact that she realized her misstep and she owned it and she apologized and she made no excuses for it. So I am a big Kelly Stafford fan right now.
I respect the fact that she apologized. You can't in that moment do that, though. I mean, people know who she is.
It's a great story. Throwing pretzels?
No, you can't do that.
Maybe she looked at them as hungry people.
Well, no, because then you become part of the story. I mean, it could be worse. You could have, you know, your mother at a game maybe and she punches somebody. It almost gets kicked out.
Where did your mom hit this guy?
In Hartford.
I don't mean that. I mean, like, on the body, where did she hit him?
I think she punched him square in the chest. I think she did.
Really?
Yeah. He was saying something nasty about me.
And what did he do? Like, I'm imagining he didn't punch her back.
I will walk up to you and punch you in the mush.
He was like, "I loved you in the wrestler. Can I have an autograph?" No, he stood up. And luckily, my uncle was there. She gets crazy, man. I was like, "Well, you can't do stuff like that. People, I mean, you can't. You're sitting in the family section. You can't be punching people.
Throwing pretzels. No. It's not a great look."
Like, Cass got a beer dumped on her head, and she didn't do anything. In Philly.
Oh, shocker.
Well, what a surprise.
Yeah. I know.
It happened in Philly. Shock.
So last weekend, you probably didn't think much of this. Although knowing you two, you probably dissected this tape just because you just take everything in, and I applaud you for it. But Texas Tech football, to the Big 12 we go. They beat Iowa State 41-38.
Is this their broadcasting team?
I knew you'd know this. Yes. Yeah. So the Texas Tech football radio announcers, a man named Brian Jensen and a man named John Harris. This is a game Texas Tech won. This is on their radio network. Here's what they had to say as the game was getting tight.
"I'll say it right now. The Big 12 does not want Iowa State to lose this game."
Yeah, Bob Bowlesby, you need to answer to this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I've seen some horrendous calls today.
This is ridiculous. Unbelievable. The inconsistency of this referee crew in favor of Iowa State today. Unbelievable.
Have it right down the middle, they called it. So they've actually been suspended for one game. And if it wasn't that put it over the top, it was they actually went on. I'm not going to play it, but they went on to name every official by name. They went right down the list.
Did they give addresses and phone numbers?
I'm sure they would have if they could have.
Did they maybe call them during the game and leave nasty voicemails or just disorganized voicemails?
Yes.
"Hey, Buster, how you doing? It's Rick DiPietro calling."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have audio. We have audio of it. And
so you get a free moment, give me a call back. Look forward to hearing from you. Bye.
Shocking they were suspended. They were so respectful.
They were maybe I should call those two.
Voicemail.
Oh, all right.
You guys
right.
made a mistake, but we love you.
All right, Raymond.
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
Man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
All righty. So for today's edition of Did It Happen in Florida?
DHIF.
That's right, as it's known to many. We take you to a nice lady who just wanted to go get her legs waxed.
Oh,
okay?
No.
So she strolls in, everything business as usual. She gets the wax applied to her legs, and immediately, it is so painful that she cannot take it. She knows there's a problem. The woman proceeds to, you know, just basically tell her to, you know, toughen up. Just take it. So she eventually halts the session, gets out of there, and this is the kind of pain she was in, right to the hospital.
Oh, my God.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
She went to the hospital.
Second-degree burns.
Oh, my God.
On her legs. So you might think, okay, you report back to the salon and spa where this was done, and, you know, there's going to be some apologies, some issues. She has bandages, you know, the whole deal. The spa, the beauty parlor, proceeds to charge her full price.
What, they charged her?
They charged her and said, well, your very sensitive skin is basically not our problem.
Oh, my God.
No!
Savages. And she paid it?
No, no, no. This is playing out in lawyers and courts and things like that. But I ask you, did this happen in Florida?
Now, this seems like an absolute not Florida to me. Why? I don't think the women mind having hairy legs. I stand by that, and I will say not Florida. I look at this as a Northeast story where the women really care about taking care of themselves.
Surprisingly well-groomed in Florida. I can attest to that.
Really?
Yes, well-groomed. I'm not even sure if this country. I mean, you get second-degree burns from a waxing. Like, there's no way they're charging you. I don't care where it is. They're going to charge you full price, and you're going to deal with that pain. I'm definitely not Florida.
Okay, Raymond?
Yeah, I would say it feels like not Florida.
Ray will guess $2.99.
A job well done right here in our backyard, gentlemen, in New York City.
Really?
That's right. That's right.
Oh,
Kelly
no.
Clarkson!
You guys all remain undefeated.
This is no joke. I'm in an MRI tube. I don't know if it was my hip. I was getting some MRI. I did too many. And all of a sudden, my leg, like, in between my legs, like in my thighs, like the inside of my thigh.
Waxing?
No, it was burning, dude.
Someone snuck in there.
There was some tiny man waxing my thighs. No, it started burning. And I was like, oh, my God, what's going on here? And I'm like, just tough it out. You're fine. No big deal. So finally, I had to stop the MRI. I got out. I had like two like quarter-sized burn marks.
From what?
I have no idea.
You
no
have
idea.
More stories.
Get two MRIs, get a free waxing.
That's right. Have you ever been waxed, by the way?
Me, yeah.
Yeah, it is terrible.
It's awful.
Doesn't sound fun.
What do you mean it's awful? What did you get waxed?
Back.
Oh.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.